Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Samach Vav, and we will begin Daf Samach Hei Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom, El Rabbi Elazar de Kaveres Dvarim. We had learned in our previous shiur. First, the Gemara quoted a machloikis of Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanon regarding a pipe or anything that was connected to the ground. Is it considered mechubar al karka or not? Rabbi Elazar's opinion was that anything connected to the ground is considered mechubar al karka. Makes no difference if it was first formed into a keli and then connected to the ground, or if it was first connected to the ground and then formed into a keli. Rabbanan seemed to disagree. Then the Gemara quoted a braisa regarding hilchis mikvos, that we know, as we discussed in the previous shiur, that mayim shuvim disqualify a mikvah. And the Gemara discussed water that goes through a pipe, at what point would it be considered mayim shuvim that would disqualify the mikvah. And we learned, the Gemara said, that if it was a pipe and then connected to the ground, it would the water that flowed through that pipe would disqualify the mikvah. But if it was first attached to the ground, if the material was first attached to the ground and then afterwards it was turned into a pipe, that would be considered mechubal karka and would not be considered mayim shuvim. And the Gemara questioned, could that opinion also be the opinion of Rabbi Elazar? And the Gemara said that yes, because when it comes to Mechira, there Rabbi Elazar will follow the opinion of Meicher Bain Yafuhu Meicher, which has, as the Gemara said, no connection to Hilchas Mikvos. But as we continued to learn in yesterday's shiur, the Gemara made a statement that the opinion of Rabbi Elazar is not consistent with the opinion of the Braisa. We first assumed, as I just said a moment ago, that it was referring to these two halachas regarding Hilchas Mikvos, that the Hilchas Mikvos din and the din regarding selling and the din regarding selling property cannot coexist. But we just explained that they do, that there is no real stira. So we're back to where we started. What is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar that the Gemara says does not follow the opinion stated in the Braisa regarding Hilchas Mikvos? Says the Gemara, it's Rabbi Elazar the Kaveres Dvarim. It's Rabbi Elazar's opinion regarding a beehive. The Tanan, as the Mishnah says regarding a beehive, Kaveres Dvarim, a beehive, Rabbi Elazar Oimer Areika Karka. It's considered like Karka, which means, as we have learned, Baruch Hashem, so many times, the halacha is that Karka is Niknes, B'Kesef, B'Shtar, U'B'Chazaka. Says the Mishnah that a beehive that's attached to the ground is treated the same way, and it's Niknes, B'Kesef, B'Shtar, U'B'Chazaka. Furthermore, Karka, we know, is a din of a Kinyan Agav, that if I want to buy Metaltlin, Agav Karka, if I'm buying Karka, the Kinyan on the Karka will be effective for the Metaltlin also. Continues the Gemara, the question of Prozbal. The halacha is Shemitah, not only the Shemitah effect that one may not work the property during land in Eretz Yisrael during the Shemitah year. The halacha is that Shemitah cancels all loans. And as we've learned, it's actually a Mechloikis Rishonim. At what point of the year does the Shemitah cancel the loans? At the beginning of the year is the opinion of the Rosh. The opinion of most Rishonim actually is that it cancels the loans at the end of the year. And Hillel, as we've learned, saw that people refrained from lending other people money because they were concerned that Shemitah would cancel the loan. So Hillel instituted the concept of a prosbul. How a prosbul works is actually a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say it works with the concept of meiser shtayroisov lebezdin, that somebody is giving over his obligations to Bezdin. Many rishonim disagree with that concept because they say if a prosbul follows the concept of meiser shtayroisov lebezdin, then what is unique about a prosbul that we needed a takon of Hillel? And therefore, those rishonim explain that Hillel came up with a new concept, nothing to do with meiser shtayroisov lebezdin, that should be effective in preventing the loans to be cancelled during the Shemitah year. The Ran has a very interesting compromise approach. He says that actually prosbul does work with the concept of meiser shtayroisov lebezdin. He says, but in order for it to be considered a true meiser shtayroisov lebezdin, it would require for one to actually physically give over the shtar to Bezdin. Came along Hillel and said that one doesn't actually physically hand over the loan documents to Bezdin, that too is considered a situation of meiser shtayroisov lebezdin. But for in order for prosbul to be effective, it had to be written if the loiva only owned property. Actually, the Rishonim say, if we're going to have a situation where a loiva doesn't have property, and the malva wants to avoid the problem of Shemitah, he could give to the loiva, he could be makna to the loiva some property, and like that, the loiva now has property, and we can write a prosbul. Why is it essential for the loiva to have property in order for a prosbul to be effective? Here too, we find a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim explain because it was only common that a person would lend money to somebody who owned his own property. Somebody who didn't own his own property, somebody wouldn't lend money to him. And therefore, even though Hillel instituted this concept of prosbul, he only did so in a situation where the loiva has property, which is the common situation. Others explain that the concept of prosbul depends on another din. The halacha is that if the malva is holding a mashkin, then shmita doesn't cancel the loan. By the loiva having property, it's as if the malva is holding a mashkin, and therefore the shmita will not cancel the loan. So the Mishnah is teaching us the one who owns a beehive is considered as if he owns property, and we could write a prosbul for that based on that ownership. Furthermore, if honey, we know that food is susceptible to kabel tumah. However, says the Mishnah that if the honey is in a beehive which is in its place, so the honey in the beehive is considered like it's mechubel lekarka and is not mekabel tumah. However, once the beehive is detached from its place, it's considered like utensil, and the honey is mechubel lekabel tumah. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out, even though most foods require somebody to have intention to eat that food in order that that food should be considered food that's going to be mekabel tumah, honey is always considered a food that's going to be mekabel tumah. V'aroid v'mena b'Shabbos, and somebody takes off the honey from the beehive on Shabbos, his chayiv chatos. Ask the Rishonim and the Achronim. We speak about the beehive. We speak about the beehive being considered like karka, and therefore if somebody writes a prosbul just on the beehive, it's considered a valid prosbul. The beehive is on land. So once the beehive is on land, the halacha ought to be that that's enough of a reason that we could write a prosbul. Why do we have to look at the beehive? Why don't we look at the land that the beehive is placed on? So the Rush explains that we're referring here to a situation where the beehive, my beehive, I put on somebody else's land without permission. So since I didn't have permission to put the beehive on his land, therefore the land cannot be considered land which I could write a prosbul for. The Ritva says a different tarot, it's similar. He says as follows. He says, as we said earlier in the shir, the halach is that Shemitah only cancels the loan at the end of the Shemitah year. So let's say I got permission to put my beehive on somebody's property, but that permission terminated before the year of Shemitah ended. So at the moment that the year of Shemitah is ending, which is the critical moment to determine if my loan will be cancelled or won't be cancelled, my beehive was on land that I didn't have permission to have it on. And that's why I have to rely on the beehive that it should be considered a valid prosbul. Another teretz is that the Gemara at this point, perhaps as the Pnei Shloima, assumes that in order for a prosbul to be effective, it's not enough that I should have rights to use that property. It has to be property that I actually own. And therefore, if I only have my beehive on property that I had permission to put the beehive, that wouldn't be considered enough of a piece of property that I should be able to write a prosbul on it. Another text that the Mefarshim give is that I have permission to put my beehive on this property. But it's permission that was only granted for, it's permission that was only granted that the owner of the property has a right to remove me at any time that he so pleases. Since he has this ability to remove me at any time, that prevents me from having, for it to be considered my property, and I need to rely on the beehive to be able to write a prosbul. The Chama, however, disagree. The Chama hold that a beehive is not considered enoka karka. It's not considered like karka. Therefore, the enkais from la prosbol, mekabel is tumah mekayma. It's mekabel tumah because it's not considered mechubel karka. If I ride with men of Shabbos and somebody takes off honey from this beehive in Shabbos, he will be potter. Most Rishonim explain that potter here means potter aval osur, that it's not osur midraisa, but it's osur midrabbanan. Obviously, this Mishnah is referring to a beehive that was first made and then attached to the ground. Yet, we see that Rebbe Lezer holds that it's considered like it's mechubel karka. This is unlike what he learned regarding Hilchas Mikvos, where we learned in our previous shir that by a mikvah, if it was turned into a keli and only then attached to the ground, it would not be considered mechubel karka, it would be considered mayim shuvim. Answers the Gemara, we cannot compare the situation of the beehive to the situation of the mikvah. Because Hasum Kedrama Rabbi Lazar Tama, there Rabbi Lazar explained, Don Rabbi Lazar said, my Tama Rabbi Lazar, why the honey in the beehive is considered mechubel karka, the ksiv, the yitbal oisoi biyaris hadvash. The pasuk there refers to when, in the times of Shaul, they were in battle against the Pelishtim. And Shaul made everybody swear that they would not eat anything until the day was over. Yonason, the son of Shaul, was not aware of this, and he was hungry. He came back from the battle unaware of what his father had said, and he stuck his stick into the beehive to get some honey. The pasuk says, "V'yitbol oisai biyaris advash." Teaches us the pasuk, "Ma'yar hatoilus rebenem b'Shabbos." Just like by a forest, if somebody were to uproot a tree from a forest on Shabbos, he's chayiv chatas. Aftvash haroidu rebenem b'Shabbos. If somebody takes honey out of a beehive on Shabbos, he'll be chayiv chatas because there's a special din regarding a beehive, that the honey attached to the beehive is considered mechubal kaka, which cannot be used for any other area of halacha. In fact, the Yam Shel Shleima says, we know that there's a special isser regarding taloyim, regarding worms that are found in anything connected to the ground. Says the Yam Shel Shleima, if there will be taloyim found in honey, and somebody chas v'shalom eats those taloyim, he will be over the isser of sheretz hasheretz al aretz. Certainly, explained the Mefarshim, that if we're saying now taking the honey out of the beehive, one is chayiv on Shabbos for a roid of a man for kaitzer. Certainly, if somebody takes the beehive, which is connected to the ground, he will be chayiv on Shabbos. The chiddush of our Gemara is that not only on the beehive, which is connected to the ground, that you chayiv if you detach that beehive from the ground, but you also chayiv if you take the honey out of the beehive. There's an interesting machlokes amongst the Mefarshim in the Navi. When we speak here about Yonasan eating this honey, the sweet item, what was it? Was it honey, as our Gemara seems to say, bee honey? But there are Mefarshim in Navi that say that it was considered, that it was sugar cane. If we will explain that it's referring to sugar cane, then it will be relevant to a number of halachas. It will be most relevant, the Paiskim say, regarding what bracha should be made on sugar cane. Our meaning, and that is the halacha, is that on sugar cane we make a shahakal. But if we're going to say that there, the dvash over there was sugar cane, and our Gemara is teaching us, says the Shoyle Meshev, that the dvash is yaris dvash, so it should be considered like a tree, and perhaps a bari priyo eitz should be made on sugar cane, not a shahakal. The Yaris, the safer Yaris Devash, goes into explaining what is the whole point of this pasuk that's teaching us that he took his stick and took a drop of honey from the beehive. So he explains that Shaul Yonason were very great tzaddikim, and they were certainly makbid that anything they touched, they should only eat food but tahara. So he explains that it's very possible that they would not take honey that was on the ground, that was already a liquid, that might have been mekabel tumah. As we learned earlier, honey is always considered a food, and a liquid, even the most minute shear, is mekabel tumah, and therefore he might have been eating honey that was tummy. However, therefore he was careful to eat the honey that was still attached to the beehive. Honey that's still attached to the beehive, as we've been learning, is considered an oichel. And as we've learned many times, an oichel is only mekabel tumah when it has the shear of a kebeya. And therefore, Yonason took just a small amount of honey that didn't have the shear of tumah, and there was no concern that he was eating something tummy. So we're back to where we began the shir. We were looking to find a place where the opinion of Rabbi Lezer will not be compatible with the halacha that we learned regarding mikvah. Says the Gemara, Ela Rabbi Lezer the daf. It's Rabbi Lezer that we learned regarding a board, the Tanan. Daf shenachtoimim. Machlokes what this board of the bakers was used for. Some say it was used as a display on which they would put the breads and cakes that the baker baked for display. Others explain, the Rishonim say, that it was where they actually made the dough. The Tanan, Daf Shel Nachtoimim, a baker's board, Shekava B'Koysel, that was attached to the wall, Rabbi Lezer Metahar V'Cham Metamim. Rabbi Lezer says that it's considered tahar, and the Chacham consider it Mukshel Tomei. Rabbi Lezer holds that's considered mechubal karka, and anything mechubal karka doesn't become tamei. The Chama obviously disagree. Now, when we learn this Mishnah regarding Daf Shel Nachtoimim, the Mishnah doesn't differentiate whether it was prepared, it was made into a daf before it was attached to the wall, or whether it was made into a daf after it was attached to the wall. Rebbe Lezer always considers it mechubal karka. So we see that Rebbe Lezer's opinion is that as long as it's attached to the karka, it makes no difference at what point it was made into a keli, it's considered mechubal karka. Unlike the din we learned regarding mikvahs, that it was a nafkamina the brisa made, whether if it was made into a pipe before it was attached to the ground, or if it was made into a pipe after it was attached to the ground. Mani, and that's exactly what the Gemara says, who is going to be the Tana of the brisa regarding hilchos makvos? Because even Rebbe Lezer, if it wanted to say that that brisa follows the opinion of Rebbe Lezer, then afil chok koil b'soif kavoy, even if it was first made into a pipe and then attached to the ground, the halacha ought to be that it's still considered mechubal karka, because Rebbe Lezer's opinion is that anything that's mechubal karka, no matter at what point it was mechubal karka, is considered mechubal karka. But on the other hand, it doesn't seem to follow the opinion of the Rabbanan either. In Rabbanan, afil kavoy b'soif chok koil nami, because according to Rabbanan in this Mishnah, the Rabbanan hold that under all circumstances, a daf shel nechtoimim that's connected to the ground is not considered mechubal karka. Yet, in the rice that we learned regarding mikvahs, there was a distinction made when it was made into a keli, before it was connected or after it was connected. So now, we seem to have a real issue. The rice that we learned regarding hilchos mikvahs doesn't seem to follow not the opinion of Rebbe Lezer, nor the opinion of Rabbanan. Ask the Noida Behuda. Noida Behuda asks that the Mishnah says in Masech the Kalim that any Kali that was intended to be used Mechubal Karka is never Mechabal Tuma. Ask the Noida Behuda, this Daf Shenech Toimim, which was made to be connected to the ground, should be considered something that's mechubal karka? Answers the Noda Behuda very bechiddush. He says, even if you have a keli that was manufactured with the intent to use it only while it is attached to the karka, if it can be used when it's not mechubal karka, then it could be considered a keli anyway. So therefore, he says, the baker's board, which could be used as a table, even when it's not attached to the wall, therefore, it's not considered inherently mechubal karka. And in fact, the Shaul Tshuvas Chelkas Yaakov uses this to discuss a very frequently asked question. We know that kelim require tefillin and mikvah. And there's always a concern when you buy an electric appliance, how could you be tovel in the mikveh? We know that if it comes in contact with water, it could get ruined. So one of the teirim that's discussed, for example, when you buy an electric water urn, hot water urn, since it's only usable when it's connected to the ground, because it has to be plugged into the socket, that's why some paiskim want to suggest that it should be considered something that's mechubal karka. Because we just quoted that anything that was intended to be used only when it's mechubal karka is considered in the always in the category of mechubal karka. Says the Chelkas Yaakov, based on what the Noida Behuda just taught us, that since this electric hot water urn can have the use even when it's not connected to ground, you could fill it up with water even when it's not plugged in, and the Noida Behuda taught us that if something can be used even not when it's mechubal karka, it doesn't become inherently considered mechubal karka. That heter that it's going to be plugged in will not create a situation that should always be considered mechubal karka and immune from the din of tefillas kelim. But as for b'chadim, we've learned many times that in order for a keli not to be mechabal tuma, we have to break the keli. Here, all we're doing is we're taking the keli and we're connecting it to the ground. How could Rebbe Lezer say that a keli, just because we're mechabrit lekarka, would be no longer mechabal tuma? So B'chanan says the following chiddush. He says that if I have a keli and the keli became tamei. Yes, the only way to take off that tumah is by breaking the keli, unless I want to toivel the keli. But if I don't want to be toivel the keli, I have to break the keli. He was not referring, says Rabbi Chanan, to a situation that a keli became tamei. He was talking about as a keli susceptible to Kabbalah's tumah or not susceptible to Kabbalah's tumah. For that, it's enough to connect it to the ground that it should no longer be susceptible to Kabbalah's tumah. The stipler, however, says a very big chiddush. He says that connecting a keli to the ground is equal in the halacha to breaking the keli. For he explains the following. He says, what does breaking a keli accomplish? He says, breaking a keli takes your keli and breaks it. You no longer have a keli. He says, that's exactly what happens when you connect a keli to the ground. Till now, it was in the status of a keli, and now it's in the status of karka. Karka and kelim are not the same. So if you switched or you turned a keli from being a keli into being karka, it's not the same, and it's not mekabel tumah. So we're back to our question and understanding the Brice and the Mishnah. The opinion in the Brice that says that there's a nafkamina if you first made it into a pipe and then you connected it to the ground versus if you make it into a, if you made it into a pipe while it was already connected to the ground, whose opinion does it follow? Answers the Gemara Olam Reb Lezahi. The opinion in the Brice will follow Reb Lezer. Here, by the Nachtum, by the Davshan Nachtoimim, Reb Elezer is particularly Mekel, because Shani Davshan Nachtoimim, which is only a Tumad Rabbanan, since it's only Tumad Rabbanan, he's more Mekel, and it doesn't make a difference if it was a Keli before it was connected to the ground, or it's a Keli after it's connected to the ground, he's more lenient. But when it comes to Hilchas Mikvos, there he's going to be more Machmer, because there the Halacha is a Deraisa. And that's exactly what the Gemara says. Mechlal, at this point, we're understanding that Shiva, the problem with water that's Mayim Shuvim, is a problem of an Issa Deraisa. Ask the Gemara, for Kaimelon, we know that it's only an Issa Derabonim. And there are a number of approaches in the Rishonim how to understand what the Gemara says, Shiva is only Derabonim. Certainly, most Rishonim explain, as we said in our previous year, that if you have a mikvah, that's made out of mayim, that has 40 saw of rainwater, that mikveh is certainly a kosher mikveh, no matter if you add mayim shuvim afterwards. On the other hand, if you have a mikveh completely made up of mayim shuvim, that mikveh will certainly not be a kosher mikveh. Perhaps, it seems to be the opinion of most Rishonim, even Midaraisa. The question here is, if you have most of the mikveh mayim ksheirim, kosher rainwater, and some of the mikveh is made up of mayim shuvim, what will be the halacha? That, according to the opinion of the Rashbam, the Ramah, paskins like the Rashbam, will only be possible with the Rabbonim. And therefore, the Gemara's question is very geschmack. The Gemara is saying that we're lenient by the Davshan Nachtoimim because we're referring to an issue that's only with Rabbonim. However, Mayim Shuvim, we're referring to an issue that's the Raisa, and that's why we're more Machmer. Ask the Gemara, Shuvim is also the Rabbonim. The Ravid has a different approach. He says there are two types of situation of Mayim Shuvim. If somebody actually went and poured water into a mikveh, that's Mayim Shuvim, that's possible with the Raisa. But if water flowed into the mikveh, it just happens to be Mayim Shuvim that flowed into the mikveh, that says the Ravid is only possible with Rabbonim. Another approach is the approach of the Rabbeinu Tam, that he wants to differentiate how much, again, how much, it's similar to the Rashbam Pshat, how much kosher water did you have in the mikveh before Mayim Shuvim was introduced. And he says as soon as you have shloisha lugim mayim ksherim, three lugim of kosher water, your mikveh will never be possible midaraisa. And therefore, the Gemara's question is that the din of shuvim is also only midrabanan, and why are we being more machmer there? Void. Furthermore, asked the Gemara, Homer Rabbi Yosef Bechanina, Bedav Shamatchis Machloikis. The issue when we speak about the baker's board is not limited to a baker's board made out of wood, but it's also a baker's board made out of metal. Something made out of metal is Mikabel Tumim B'Daraisa. So why, says the Gemara, will we be lenient by the baker's board? Because it's only Tumim D'Rabbanan. Because it's Pshut Ekleitz. It's a plain wood board. That's never Mikabel Tumim B'Daraisa. The baker's board can be made out of metal. And if it's made out of metal, it can be Mikabel Tumim B'Daraisa. So therefore, the Gemara reverses itself. How to reconcile the Braisa regarding Hilchus Mikvas and the Mishnah regarding Hilchus Tavshal Nachtoimim. Loilam will say the Braisa is following the opinion of the Rabbanan. Vishani Shiva, the din of Shiva, that's only Asur Midrabbanan, and that's why we're going to differentiate whether it was first a keli, or whether before it was attached to the ground, or if it was only made into a keli after it was attached to the ground. However, by dafshal nachtoimim, since there we're referring to a metal board, which can become tamei midaraisa, since it can become tamei midaraisa, we're always going to be machmer, and no matter at what point it was made into a keli, it will be, according to the Rabbanan, not considered mechubel karka. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that by Shiva, it's only Asur Midrabbanan, why did we differentiate if it was made into a keli first or made into a keli later? Even afil chakakai l'psayf kavai, even if it was first made into a keli and then attached to the ground, the din ought to be that it's not Mayim Shuvim, and we ought to be Mekel, because it's only Asur Midrabbanan. Yehachi afilu chakakai l'psayf kavai nami drabbanan ought to be Mekel. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hassam, Diketaris Kelo Labatolish. Since in that case it was a pipe before it was connected, and as the Rishonim explained, if we're going to be Mekel under all circumstances, whether it was a pipe before or was a pipe afterwards, we're going to have to be concerned that people are going to think that there is no Isser of Mayim Shuvim. The Mayim Shuvim don't pose a problem at all. And of course, that's not a situation that we want to have. Therefore, Chazal said that if it was made into a keli before it was attached to the ground, we should consider it Mayim Shuvim and Pasel. It's interesting to note that the question that comes up is what will be, discusses the Noida Behuda and other Paiskim, what will be the halacha if you have a keli that connected to the ground? The Torah says that let's say you'll take a tub and you'll connect it to the ground and then it gets full of rainwater, it will not be a kosher mikvah. Why? Because since it was a keli before it was connected to the ground, we're learning now that anything that's a keli before it's connected to the ground never loses the shame keli and will not be kosher for mikvah. The Noida Behuda asks that our Gemara, we're saying that, our Gemara is saying that Kavoy ulubsayf chakakai to make a nafkamina is only regarding din drabonin. They were saying now Shiva is drabonin. But regarding Tfila Daraisa, it's certainly not considered Mechubel Karka. So how could you use such a keli, if somebody wants to take a tub and connect it to the ground, how could it be considered a kosher mikvah? They were dealing with a shiloh of a Daraisa. As far as the Daraisa is concerned, it should certainly not be considered Mechubel Karka. And therefore the Noida Yehuda says that one can only use such a mikvah that somebody took a tub and connected to the ground and then filled it with rainwater, that it should be kosher mikvah only for tefillah that one is mechuyiv midrabbanan. But a woman who, for example, is a nida, that her chiyuv tefillah as midaraisa, cannot use that as a kosher mikvah. Continues the Gemara. We know, we've learned this thing many times, that in order for food to become susceptible to tumah, it only had to become into contact with liquid, water, and the same as wine, honey, oil, milk, dew, and blood, had to have come in contact with that food in order to be mukshal kabal tumah. Furthermore, as we learned in Masechta Bamitzia, the pasuk says, "V'chiyut ha'mayim al zera, v'nafal menosim olav tamei ulechem." The Torah spells the word yitain. The pronunciation is yutan. Yitain means that the food, if we would explain it to mean yitain, it would mean that the food is only mukshal kabal tumah if one specifically made the food wet. Yutan means that if even if it got wet, that I didn't actively make it wet, it would be mukshal kabal tumah. And the Gemara Masechta Matzia, in reconciling these two pronunciations of yitain and yutan, says that as long as one is satisfied that the food got wet, even though he didn't actively make it wet, that is already enough for the food to become mukshar lekabel tumah. Now, in continuing to understand what is considered being satisfied, the Gemara says that it doesn't have to be that necessarily the food that's in question I wanted to get wet. If I was satisfied that this liquid, if I was satisfied with the liquid making something wet, that liquid could be machsha food lekabel tumah. The best example is that let's say I have a dish outdoors and I have produce outdoors and it's raining, and I'm satisfied that my dish, which is dirty, should get cleaned with the rainwater. And then that rainwater hits my produce. I never wanted my produce to get wet, but I wanted my dish to get wet. That water, that's enough of a satisfaction that the produce should become kabel tumah. However, this thing that I just discussed, that if one item would to become wet, and I'm satisfied that it got wet, should have the ability to be machshir the produce for kabbalas tumah, only applies if that item that got wet was something that's not attached to the ground. But if the item that I wanted to get wet is attached to the ground, and since something, as we've been learning, that's attached to the ground cannot be makabal tumah, there is no concept of satisfaction that that item is getting wet, and there is no concept of hakshara l'kabal tumah. So ask the Gemara, this is the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara. Bar Rav Yosef, make shomim shechishav leim ladich sister bulin. Somebody wanted to wash, get his mill, the framework around his mill washed. Mal was run. What would be halacha of such rainwater to be machshir the produce lekabel tumah? Do we say that since that sterbulim is attached to the ground, so as we just said, anything attached to the ground, it getting wet can't have an effect on achsharas lekabel tumah? Or do we say that it's not, that a sterbulim is not considered like land, and therefore if I wanted my sterbulim to get washed, the water that will hit that extra bulin and then hit the produce will be machshir lekabel tumah? Actually, according to the Rashbam's understanding of the Gemara, the question is not limited to that extra bulin. The Gemara's question reflects any situation where I had something that was a keli and then it was attached to the ground afterwards, what will be the halacha. Tosfos has a different approach to the Gemara's question, and Taisa says that the Gemara's question is referring to Adash and Achtoimim and Mechteshes, that we said sometimes is considered Mechuber and sometimes not. But we're going to learn the Gemara like the Rashbam. Says the Gemara, Aliva de Rebelezer, according to the opinion of Rebelezer, who we've been learning, that says, Kol Mechuber Kaka Reka Kaka, anything attached to the ground is considered like Karka, like to buy luck. There's no question that Astabulin is considered like Karka. And therefore, even if it got wet, that water would not have the ability to be machshir food lekabalas tumah. Ki to bar lach aliv drabonim. The question is only according to rabbonim. Damri, Denikakarka, that they said that a utensil that was first made into a keli and then attached to the ground is not considered like karka, mai. What will be the din regarding that tabulin? And as the Mefarshim explained, there are two ways of understanding the opinion of the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said that when somebody sells a house, that tabulin is included in the sale. Now the question is, why do they say that? Is it because they consider an estrabulin something that's mechubar lekarka? If they're going to hold that way, then the estrabulin getting wet will not have the ability to be machshir the food next to it lekabalas tuma. Or do they say that it's a special din regarding the mechira of a house, that since that strabulin is normally part of the house, that's why it's included in the sale of the house, but not because that strabulin is really considered mechubar lekarka? If that's the case, that it's only a special din that this is included in the sale of the house, but not to make it really, but since it was made into a keli before it was connected, it will not be considered mechubar lekarka. Then the halacha will be that that tabulin getting wet will be machshir the food next to it lekabalas tuma, and the gemara remains with a teiku. The halacha is that every woman is entitled to ksuba. There are a number of tanai ksuba. One of the tanai ksuba is that a daughter who, when the father dies, is still not married, get supported off the estate of the father. But Chazal made a special takana that if a girl's father passed away and she needs to get married, that from the estate that the father left, money should be taken for the girl's marriage. And the Gemara says in Masechet Ketubos that if we could assess what the father normally would have given, that is what's given for support. But if we can't establish, we can't assess what the father would have given, then we give Issa Nechasim. We assume that a father would give 10% of his estate to marry off his daughter. But since this is a special Takanas Chachamim, the Chachamim's Takana only applies to something that's mechubal to karka, something mechubal karka. From that we take funds to support, to marry off the unmarried daughters, not from metaltlan. So says the Gemara, Shalach le Rav Nechemya b'Reid Rav Yoitzel Rav b'Reid Rav Huna Zuti l'Nador Ki Asi Hach Itas l'Kamach. When a certain woman will come to you with a claim that she should get a dowry from her father's estate, Agve Issa Nechsi, as I just said, that this payment is called Issa Nechsi, because in a situation that we don't know how much the father would have left, we give her 10%. Give it the 10%, afilim is tabrulah deruchayim. Give it from the money they get from renting out. We'll explain what this means in a moment more from the tabrulah deruchayim. Obviously, he is of the opinion, like Rabbi Lezer, that a tabruli is considered mechubal karka, and therefore it's funds that she could use for her marriage. We would give her her dowry from rent that was paid for houses belonging to the father's estate. And as Tosfos explains, when we say that was given from money that was left for rent from the father's estate, we need to qualify this. Certainly, if the Yarshim had collected rent, and now they want to take that money that they now have, is not considered karka, that she should be entitled to that money for her dowry. On the other hand, if the houses or anything mechubal karka had not yet been rented out, certainly it's considered like mechubal karka, and she's entitled to issa nechsei from those funds. The question here is, let's say they had property or as we're learning, Astabuli, which is also considered Mechobel Karka. And this Astabuli had been rented out for a year. And the time of her marriage comes up in the middle of the rental term. Says the Gemara, explains Tosfos, that not only rent that will be collected after her marriage, she's entitled to get for her dowry, but even rent that had been collected before this time, since the halach is, schiris is einem shtalemus al b'soif, even if a tenant paid his rent before the term is up, halachically, he's not obligated to pay that rent until the term is up. Therefore, the halach is that rent money is not considered yet the yarshim's until the end of the year. And by the end of the year, they're obligated to give a dowry, so even from rent money they collected before, she'd be entitled to get the money that she gets for her dowry payment.